generate an altruistic motivation for the meditation. So it's important to meditate on impermanence and death. Results in the Bodhisattva's practice of giving up this life. All beings, humans and non-humans, all ordinary beings, are preoccupied, striving to be happy, focused on this life, looking for food, going after clothing, material possessions. So much energy, so much effort focused on this life. There's no space to think about spiritual practice. We're exhausted just by our temporary aims, our worldly activities. Problems arise and we aim to overcome those immediate problems without thinking about the happiness of future lives. We engage in non-virtue, taking advantage of others, killing, stealing, lying. So the remedy is to meditate on impermanence and to transform the way we live our life. Whatever is impermanent arises through causes and conditions. It changes momentarily and will cease. A seed, when it becomes moist and has the right conditions, a sprout will grow. Plant then grows and flowers, goes to seed, then it dies. Similarly, we ourselves are conceived, we form in the womb and are born. When we're young, we form friendships with other young people. Then we age and our parents age and pass away. Our friends are lost. Close friendships can become hostile and relationships cease. No matter how good our relationships are, they pass. Same is true of any wealth we accumulate, any possessions, they're not lost in the life, then they must be left behind when we die. Think how the material possessions that we aim for and obtain, they never satisfy us for long. This includes material things and our clothes, our food, and the activities we engage in. Can't take any of the material possessions we accumulate with us. Every holiday we go on comes to an end. Every hotel room we've stayed in, we have to leave. And in the same way, the consciousness, our own consciousness, is like a guest. Has to leave the house of the body. By reflecting well, we can come to see how all our friends, our wealth, our possessions, our body, they take up all our energy to gain them and retain them, and they'll all be lost in the life or at death. Death is a time of transition to a new life. At that time, our loved ones, our wealth, our body, our possessions, nothing can help. Only the virtue that we have acquired during the life can help us at the time of death. So we need to think about the way we live our life. We need to focus on accumulating virtue that will help us in our future lives. We need to accumulate virtue and eliminate the non-virtuous habitual actions. Because it's only the positive and negative karma that follow us life to life. So in this life, if you develop ethical conduct of restraining from negative actions, in the way we think, in the way we speak, the way we behave, that serves us well at the time of death. So we can commit during this life never to go against the teachings of the Buddha. And at the same time to develop a generous attitude. To use what possessions we have to help our teachers and Dharma friends and needy sentient beings. Be generous with the virtue we create, and make auspicious prayers for our own future rebirth as a human or God, aiming to again meet our teachers at a young age and joyfully follow the path, accomplishing their wishes. If we examine whether today or the future rest of the life is more important, even a worldly being will say that the future is more important. So we too, as Dharma practitioners with a view of future lives, need to plan for the future and use our resources well. The aims of this life are fleeting. They're of little value. Instead, what's of great value is to develop the causes for a good rebirth, for liberation and enlightenment. Meditating in this way, we can overcome our laziness, our procrastination. Thinking about the numbers of causes and conditions that were needed to bring about this precious human rebirth. And thinking how quickly things change. Very quickly, floods come about, and bushfires, and pandemics, and so many lives are lost. We don't know when our life will cease. We need to use the life in the best way, without delay. The Lam Rim clearly explains how death is certain. All who are born will die. But the time of death is uncertain. There are so many causes and conditions that can end the life, and so few that sustain it. Between the two of tomorrow or the next life, there's no certainty which will come first. If we die tonight, tomorrow, we're already in the future life. It's an illusion to feel that we have many years ahead of us. When we take our last breath, then the next life comes. And nothing but Dharma helps us at the time of death. So we need to renounce unwholesome friends. The worldly idea of a good friend is one who loves us and helps us and is kind. And a harmful friend is one who criticizes us. But in a Dharma text, we need a broader view. An unwholesome friend is one who hinders our spiritual development. Those who generate in ourselves the causes and conditions for our attachment and our anger. And a wholesome friend is one who helps our Dharma practice. Our friends are those who are kind to us, but our attachment for them causes us problems with our Dharma practice. We can get into bad habits of criticizing others and gossiping, creating negative karma. Or encouraged to drink alcohol, which makes us lose clarity about what to abandon and what to adopt. The way we're able to develop our wisdom is through hearing, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings. We need to abandon unwholesome friends that distract us from our noble aims. As beginners, our aspiration to enlightenment is like a very weak, tiny sprout that will wither and die by the heat or the frost or the wind. Our attachment is like that. We're easily attracted to spending time with our friends, and our practice doesn't get done. Loving kindness is not developed, and hatred and selfishness increase. We look for quick solutions with spiritual teachers who and not teaching the paths to a good rebirth or liberation or enlightenment. So this perfect human rebirth that can achieve great ends gets wasted. We do aspire and long for bodhicitta and to develop Mahayana paths. Therefore, we definitely need to have an honest look at our life. We need to be mindful of who we spend our time with, who influences us. If our life is to have the great meaning that is our opportunity, we need to strive to develop bodhicitta and turn away from unwholesome friends and mundane activities. Then later, once bodhicitta has been developed, we can return and liberate those past friends, those mistaken teachers, and guide them skillfully. Reflect how all bodhisattvas were ordinary beings just like ourselves, but by engaging in these very same practices, they completely transformed their life. So we too can make this transformation by honest examination. And then take care with whom we spend our time. Who we allow to influence our activities. We can recognize that unwholesome friends are not those who are mean to us. They love us. We love them. Nevertheless, they harm our practice. We procrastinate and are lazy around them. So we don't look down on them. Temporarily remove ourselves and follow our path so that we can achieve our aims and return to benefit them in the future. Meditation on these topics needs to be done repeatedly. if we're honest and sincere in our training, then we can cultivate these realizations and bring about a gradual development. So to conclude, develop genuine loving kindness and compassion to others. And also a genuine commitment to ourselves to really take on board the practices that are described to bring about the change we need to really be of great benefit to others and ourselves. Recognizing the very good reason to transform our life. We need to become a Buddha to be able to lead all beings to that enlightened state. So we need the causes and conditions for that. And the path of the past Buddhas and Bodhisattvas is exactly the same path that we need to follow.
Janjub Sanchorim Poshe Make Panyam Kikushe Kepanyam Pame Payang Gong